form on the surface of the building. There was another one in here that I missed, saying you, essentially, you will not leave it outside during construction. Also, because of the sunlight.
Storage outside.
Storage, yeah, you do not store it outside.
Correct.
The sunlight affects it.
Long term.
So you can't run a plumbing vent, or any plastic vent now that goes through the roof. If you want to read the code here, if you take an ABS or PVC and they put a plumbing vent through the roof, that plumbing vent is supposed to be painted with a special paint or coating.
That statement just related to polybutylene.
Yes, it did. That's right. But there's another one in here under PVC which says you will paint that vent. Well, you don't see them painted. They're not painted. They run a piece of PVC out through the roof, and it doesn't have a special paint on it. You can go up and scratch on it if you don't paint it. All right, so what I'm saying is that if plastic pipe is installed as required by IAPMO, and as I say, there is another chapter in here, another part where it deals with ABS pipe, waste and vent, PVC waste and vent, and you'll find that most of the restrictions are all the same there, about the same, for all plastics. So I would recommend, I'm in favor of adopting the plumbing code as such, and we need it. It's long overdue for the state. Usually the state is the last one that adopts it, the municipalities that adopted it previously. But if you adopt the 82, I would strongly suggest that you modify the articles regarding plastic pipe. That's about all I have.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. David Wigglesworth.
My name is David Wigglesworth, and I'm representing the Alaska Health Project. First, I'd like to just comment on Mr. Lancaster's, one of the statements about your...
Who is Alaska Health?
Oh, sorry. The Alaska Health Project is a nonprofit organization in Anchorage. We do work in the area of occupational health and safety. We work with management as well as workers, giving presentations and providing services. I'd like first to respond to just one statement Mr. Lancaster said about a NIOSH study about gas fitters and plumbers out of Massachusetts. I don't think we should carry much weight with this study. When he was, one statement which he failed to remark on was the fact that plumbers have, in the study, most plumbers reported having experienced acute central nervous system symptoms at one time while working with PVC pipe cements and cleaners. I just want to raise that as an issue. And NIOSH, in their conclusions, basically stated that this study was inconclusive as representative of the industry as a whole. So basically, this is one study, and it's not representative of the industry as a whole. And I just wanted to bring that up because it might have been a little misleading. As we all have gathered and know, the plumbers and pipe fitters encounter many hazards in their occupations. Traditional copper or metal pipe plumbing threatens plumbers with toxic metal fumes from welding. But now, contemporary polyvinyl chloride and ABS systems, I'm not really here to elaborate too much on polybutylene systems, present plumbers with new hazards which, unlike traditional plumbing, have not really been fully studied as to their long and short-term health hazards. We as the Alaska Health Party feel we're not in a position to come out and support or opposition of this legislation, but we feel it's our responsibility to point out some health risks associated with these new systems and to raise some questions concerning worker and public health if the legislature does pass this, expand the use of these systems as described in House Bill 508. Okay. Health issues associated with plastic pipe systems. What are the chemicals involved? In joining plastic pipes, the use of cleaning solvents and rapid gluing cements are very prevalent. Typical solvents found in plastic pipe cements and primers are methyl ethyl ketone, tetrahydrofuran, cyclohexanone, dimethylfuranid, to raise a few. As well as some plastic resins in the PVC and ABS pipes are PVC and ABS, obviously. What are the health effects to workers? In general, these substances enter the body by inhalation, ingestion, and or skin contact. All of them cause short-term or acute irritation to eye, nose, throat, impaired judgment, and can cause dizziness and narcosis. Plumbers working in confined spaces, as was previously expressed, without adequate ventilation and without personal protection equipment, such as in crawl spaces, are perhaps more susceptible to these symptoms. What's most critical is the long-term and chronic implications of exposure to these substances is largely unknown, and many are being investigated now to see whether they cause or promote cancer as well as damage to the central nervous system. For example, I'll just raise a few, but tetrahydrofuran, one typical long-term exposure problem would be the possibility of getting contact dermatitis, which basically, if the plumber gets comes down with contact dermatitis, which is basically an allergy.
I wonder, we're 20 minutes beyond, and I've got to go, so if you can condense this, we got the letter here. So
okay.
If you could draft this, otherwise you're going to lose your committee.
Okay, fine. Okay, tetrahydrofurans are being tested now by the National Toxicological Program for carcinogenicity. Diethylmethylfuranamide as well is being tested by the same organization for carcinogenicity, as well as the Registry of Toxic Effects of Chemical Substances, RTEX, has listed information on irritant properties, mutation data, as well as reproductive effects data for dimethylfuranamide. I'll skip, but methylethyl ketone, long-term exposures can have an effect on the central nervous system characterized by weakness, fatigue, numbness in the extremities. Symptoms may develop after a year of exposure to vapor concentrations of 50 times per
million. I just want to emphasize, I can read this, and I can read it this evening or tomorrow. If there's something in here you really want to get at, I'd appreciate knowing them.
Okay, I'll raise my last page here. As we gather, there are potential hazards. We've seen on the film with the burning plastics and that sort of thing. Question, if the state intends to expand the use of PVC and ABS plumbing systems, has it also considered completely the increased health risk of community and workers? If this legislation, if the legislature is willing to expand the use of these systems, plastic plumbing systems, is the legislature willing to expand the use of these systems before current national research teams complete their studies on potential carcinogenic, mutagenic, teratogenic properties of pipe cements and solvents? Is there a mechanism in place whereby emergency responders are made aware of buildings containing ABS or PVC pipe systems so that they can protect themselves in the event of a fire? These are just questions. In the event that the legislation is adopted, the Alaska Health Project urges the legislation to consider the following amendments or ideas. If we're going to use the system, we would urge that you adopt language directing the State Department of Health to develop a follow-up program to keep up to date with current MTP testing, NIOSH research, and other significant studies on health issues surrounding plastic pipe systems. Furthermore, direct the department to collect exposure data on people who have used or are using the various cements and that sort of thing. This information, would more clearly define health problems. It would give Alaska some statistics, some information to work on, so that we can, in the future, if we do pass this legislation, better protect the workers if we do find some significant health risks. When possible, and NIOSH also stated it in their recommendations, that PVC pipe cements and cleaners should not be used if they contain dimethylfuranamide. Its health risks are more clearly defined, and if the state is to adopt this new code, maybe some language could be put in there to limit the use of this type of solvent. Also, I think with the related community and the fire department, somehow some language should be adopted where emergency responders are made more aware of buildings containing this type of piping system. So at least they can better prepare themselves when they're responding to a fire and know that they can bring their special apparatus, their breathing supply systems, and just be more aware of the fact that there are these types of pipe systems in here, which I can elaborate on, but you can read it, so I won't. But there are some, nasty substances which are released from these types of pipe, plastic pipe systems. I don't have research on polybutylene, but I'm especially referring to the PVC and ABS systems. We appreciate the opportunity to testify, and we just urge you careful consideration, but I think if we are going to get in the business of using these types of pipe systems, at least we can do is look to the workers who are using them and at least try to get some data on whether or not they are receiving these health symptoms, which I've addressed and other types of people have addressed today. And that's what I have to say. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Any questions?
No, and I want to kind of apologize. We've lost two committee members, and to other committees, and I'm shortly going, but I wanted to hit the high points.
Sure.
And then I got your letter.
Well, I was wondering how I was going to catch my plane today.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think we're trying to condense too much in a short period of time. However, Don here, well, I guess we lost one of our testifiers. So how about the Department of Labor, Bob Lannan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is that
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bob Landau. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for the State Department of Labor. And I just want to make a few comments in addition to our position paper, which you already have. The Department of Labor, of course, is responsible for the enforcement and administration of the plumbing code. And currently, we're enforcing the 1979 plumbing code as the minimum state standards. We're basically concerned with two different aspects of House Bill 508, namely conformity with local areas in the state that adopted the 1982 plumbing code, and secondly, we're concerned with the plastic pipe issue about which you've heard a lot of debate this afternoon. I'd like to touch on the conformity issue a little bit because it has not been much discussed. We are concerned with it mainly because there's a long list of local cities and boroughs and other jurisdictions in the state which have adopted the 82 code and have been enforcing it within their areas of jurisdiction for some time now. The state has been enforcing the 79 code for quite a few years. It's getting to the point where copies of the 79 code are becoming very difficult to obtain. And aside from the issue of plastic pipe, we are most concerned about having the rest of the code updated to bring us in conformity with the rest of the state. I'm sure you can understand the problem of perception and public relations that people have when the local inspector tells a contractor no problem with what you want to do, whether it's plastic pipe or something else, because that area has already adopted the 82 code, and then the state inspector comes along.
Clear me up. I don't know much about this area. Are you telling me that if the state of Alaska has a plumbing code, that the city of Kodiak can adopt another one that overrides the state's plumbing code, and then my building inspector at home can tell all the contractors that because the city of Kodiak adopted this building code, you no longer have to pay any attention to the state building code? Is that what you're talking about?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that is happening. It has happened in some places. And in fact, we have been forced to go to court. I believe it was against the city of Fairbanks, where they have adopted the 82 code, and in one case permitted the use of plastic pipe. When we found out about it, we went to court against them and won a court order forcing them to be as stringent as the minimum state standard.
Couldn't then follow it up because it concerns me. Couldn't then the department put Kodiak or Fairbanks or Anchorage or anybody else in notice in this state, and as soon as that council or assembly passed this code, say, hey boys, you're out of step, you can't override the state, and you're liable, and just put them on notice? I need to be a contractor operating there.
That's in fact,
and have the city tell me one thing, and the state stay silent on it, and then have the state come in and shoot down a building I just built, you know, or just did. So I think you've got a responsibility to put the city of Kodiak on notice.
Absolutely.
And say, hey, city council, or hey, assembly members, you guys are taking on one hell of a liability here. You may just buy that building that Bob Mulcahy is building out there to your specifications.
That has happened more than once, and with our three plumbing inspectors statewide, we have done our best effort to get that word around. Nonetheless, many of the documents
have evidence of communications you've had between the boroughs relative to this particular problem.
Well, I think it's done mostly on the local level when the state inspector normally has frequent contact with the local inspectors.
It seems to me that this is a problem that keeps reoccurring. Are you saying, in effect, that the State Department of Labor has not notified all the communities involved at one time and say, look, we have not adopted the 1982 building code? Have you done that?
We have notified local
areas. Can you tell me when you've done that, what particular time you did that?
I'm not in a position to tell you exactly when we did it.
Could you bring us up a letter showing us when you did
it? I will certainly check that out when I get back.
Thank you.
In any event, this is exactly the problem. I want to illustrate that the list is getting longer every day. Some of the local areas have adopted the 82 code with amendments relating to plastic pipe. I believe the municipality of Anchorage is one of those areas. With respect to the plastic pipe issue, we're caught a little bit between a rock and a hard place because in the area of plumbing, as with electrical codes, elevator codes, and other mechanical codes, the reason that we adopt national codes is that we because like many other states, we don't have the staff or the facilities to do independent testing of plastic pipe or whatever the material may be.
Mr. Chairman, I'm getting an awful problem in the department. I got a lot of respect for Jim over there and a lot of respect for a lot of other people in that department. But if the Department of Safety tells us that the speed limit in Kodiak is 50 miles an hour, you're saying that we're going to get in a whole bunch of trouble because the municipality of Kodiak says you can go 85 out there. And we're going to sit here as a state and they're not going to have any liability. I think I could get, if I was a government department, get the word out to municipalities awful dang fast and tell them what liability they got out there and say they'd be buying these jobs.
I think the inference is that you're placing the responsibility of administrating the building code on the state legislature, when in fact that's not true. It's your responsibility as Department of Labor to enforce the laws which are in effect, and that is the Building Code 1979. Now, if there is a problem in the state where they have adopted 1982 Building Code, it's your damn well, your business to let them know. Well, and don't come to the legislature and ask us to pass bills to comply with something you haven't done.
As I say, Senator, we have in fact gone to court to compel the city of Fairbanks to enforce the 79 instead of the 82 code. And I think that one thing I should make clear is that there is a provision in the plumbing statutes that says that a local area may pass its own plumbing ordinances as long as they're not less stringent than what state law sets as the minimum. And the problem has been created because we have retained 79 code as the minimum statewide standard, and yet many local areas have adopted the 82 code.
But how does that change the situation? The situation is that we're working out of 1979 code.
That's right.
The Department of Labor has known that for, 3 years, 4 years? And evidently, this problem is much more widespread than taking Fairbanks to court. We have the same problem in Homer. We have it evidently in my community of Sitka and other places in the state. What is the Department of Labor doing to tell these people that we have not adopted 1979 code any more than we adopted 1985 budget?
We have notified local areas. I can't tell you with any precision what date and whether a certain letter was sent, but through our plumbing inspectors, I can assure you that we have notified local building inspectors, plumbing inspectors, of the fact that the 79 code is still in effect. I don't think that's any secret to anybody.
Have you notified the mayors and the borough assembly people or the managers or the administrators of the borough?
I can tell you from reading the minutes of the City of Fairbanks City Council when they passed the 82 code, they were well aware that the 79 code is still in effect statewide. They heard much of the same debate that you've heard today about plastic pipe, and have gone ahead and adopted the 82 code allowing plastic pipe within their jurisdiction.
Mr. Chairman, I guess what's bothering me most of all is you're coming to say we should adopt this code here because municipalities out there have adopted some similar code. And so for us to get in line with them, we better adopt this. I mean, it's almost like and then you're saying that the state, you're almost saying that the state doesn't take precedent over there. That my municipalities, all 54 of them out there, can do whatever the heck they want, adopt whatever they want out there, whether it's electrical or plumbing or whatever standards, and that the state has no say-so over there. And if that's the case, I want to know it.
Okay, Senator, I don't believe that that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the plumbing code is updated nationally every 3 years.
I understand that, as is the elevator codes and everything.
When local areas adopt the latest national code, I'm sure you can understand that there are a lot of questions asked why the state is not following suit.
Now, but why don't you, if they can't adopt anything that we haven't adopted, or we take precedent over it, why isn't the state, unless I'm getting confused here someplace, the state telling Kodiak, hey, you can't adopt it.
They can adopt it as long as it's not less stringent than the state code. In other words, a local area can adopt the 82 code, they just can't allow plastic pipe because that would be less stringent than what the 79 code allows. But in all other respects, there's no reason why local areas...
So that's the only problem between the municipalities and the state?
As far as I know, the plastic pipe issue is the only problem.
Has states adopted it? Or has municipalities adopted it?
The 82 code?
the plastic pipe part, if that's the issue.
I have a list, and I don't know how up to date this list is, indicating that the following areas have adopted the 82 code. City of Kodiak, Valdez.
Now, all I'm interested in is the plastic pipe. That's the only thing that's illegal in what they're doing.
Okay, I cannot tell you at this point. I don't have the information as to what each local area has done with respect to plastic pipe.
Isn't that your job to over there at the department? You're saying we got to get in line with Kodiak, which makes me smile. You know. As far as plastic pipe goes,
first of all, let me separate out the plastic pipe issue.
That's the only issue here, isn't it? You're saying everything else is fine.
No, there are other changes in the 82 code. None is significant as plastic pipe.
No, but the others, you aren't taking exception.
To my knowledge, they haven't been raised as an issue.
Fine, Mr. Chairman.
What I'm trying to point out, Senator, is that from a matter of public
perception, Kodiak can tell the state of Alaska the fuck to label it to do. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just suggesting, not that we do it because local areas have done it, but from a matter of public perception, in our dealings with contractors, with employee groups, when the state is enforcing the 79 code and local areas have adopted the 82 code, apart from the merits of the plastic pipe issue, there's the appearance there that the state has been slow to react to changes in national codes.
And testimony has shown us today that maybe the state is wise and maybe the municipality of Kodiak wasn't wise. Well, if I were the Department of Labor, I think I'd put the city of Kodiak on notice and say, hey, you guys, you're doing something that one, you can't do, and two, you better not do, or three, we'll be down there.
In fact, we have done that very thing with Fairbanks. I can't tell you.
Did you do it with Kodiak?
I can't tell you what the situation is.
I think that's what the chamber, what the chairman asked you to do, is to have you put those communities out there that have adopted that on notice. And I'm not going to pursue it. I got to get out of here.
Let me get to the plastic pipe issue, if I might. As I said earlier, we have relied in most of the mechanical code areas on the work done by national code review committees, since most states don't have the facilities to do their own testing. And I think from what you've heard this afternoon, that some serious and substantial questions have been raised with respect to plastic pipe. The department, mainly is concerned with having the code updated and to support either the original bill or the substitute bill that continues to prohibit the use of plastic pipe. Our main concern is to get the code updated to bring us into conformity, at least with respect to all the rest of the code that's not an issue.
I thought you were going to say in conformity with the municipalities around the state. I don't mean to be picking at them, but I'm
sure we sent some kind of notification. I can't sit here and tell you exactly when or what we sent, but I doubt that there's a local area in the state that would be surprised to learn that the state is still enforcing the 79 code.
Evidently, the largest community in the state, Anchorage, has adopted the 82 code with the amendments dealing with the plastic pipe.
That's my understanding.
Obviously, they know what's going on. I'm surprised that, I'm not surprised that the other community's not aware of it. I would like to see a copy of some of those letters you got sent to the other communities. Whether the implication is that we're going to have it passed this year, or we should have passed it last year, or whether it's just in the mill. If the implications are that the bills before this legislation we expected to pass, that's one thing. But the letters say in effect that you cannot adopt the 1982 code until the legislature approves it. That's another thing. I would hope that the letters did not apply and we're going to pass it.
I very much doubt that we said anything of that type. I think what we would have done is reinforced what state law says, which is that local areas can adopt new codes as long as they're not less stringent in any respect than what the state minimum code is.
Thank you. Any further questions for me? Thank you very much. When will you have information for us?
I'll check on it this afternoon. I hope by tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Is there any further testimony here? Have you signed up? I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Go ahead. Give us your name and who you represent.
Yes, my name is Jim Laughlin. I'm a local contractor.
Jim Laughlin?
Laughlin, L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N. Yes, I'm representing the Local Home Builders Association, whatever. And I don't mean to jump into the, the hot seat, but this whole issue of of the state and city was, was very important to me. Dealing with residential construction, I would like to be able to put plastic pipe in a three-story building. That's okay.
I just want to ask you a question. Are you putting it in a three-story building now, even at the city? Does the city?
The city says
allow this.
The city says this. You know, they're very clear. When I go to them, they say, look, we have adopted the 82 code. However, the state has not in this particular case. You should not put ABS pipe in a three-story structure and situation.
So the
they make it very clear that that is the, the state regulation and at risk. However, we make plans, plans and whatever. And last year, I built a couple buildings which, in order to meet code, I made them have a basement, so that I could have plumbing in a three-story building and use plastic pipe. So, this required, different design and foundation walls and everything in order to achieve this. Because in residential construction, putting in copper and cast iron is prohibitive, really. And it just drives the cost way up. But anyway, the inspectors are going around. We're saying last year, they're saying, next year, no problem. We're going to adopt the 82 code and, the legislature's going to follow suit. Or the legislature, just like you said. But anyway, so we make our plans, and we say, okay. So then we get into we start the building season, and here we are with conflicting codes. And that's the essence of it. Getting down to the plastic, though, I don't know why everybody's getting involved in plastic, because we're allowing plastic already. The 79 code is adopted plastic. We're just saying, or the code's asking for a broader application. And I don't know that there's any evidence that has come out. Are there, is there real substantial evidence that says the ABS plastic and plastic pipe that's been used has caused problems that would not have had we used something else in residential construction, obviously? How long have we been using plastic pipe in residential construction? I don't know, but it's been a long time. It's been longer than I've been in the construction business, in terms of drain waste stamp. I'm not, I think this is a slick system, but it doesn't make any difference to me, seriously, whether or not they adopt, the polybutylene piping. I like copper for a variety of reasons. So, that's the situation that, as I see it, everybody's concerned about plastic pipe and its use, but the state's already adopted the use of plastic pipe, so that really seems to me is not really the issue. It's whether or not we're going to expand the use somewhat, on the basis of basically national studies and findings. So, the municipality is doing its job. They are trying to, but it is, it is a problem because, everybody, all the contractors go out and buy the 82 code book, and that's what they try to go by. And many things in the 82 code are much more stringent than the 79 code. Railings. You can't, before you couldn't pass a 9-inch sphere through a handrail or, a deck railing. Well, now it's a 6-inch. Okay, so that's good. Maybe it keeps some kids from falling off decks and whatever. And,
You don't want to buy one of those 82
because that's an adopt, so
you're going to use a 1-inch. Well, in anticipation,
you do whatever that might fit the right purpose. Yeah, they go for this, they go for the more stringent, and they are actually enforcing the more stringent of the codes. Same for them. But, they're, walking the line, expecting that the bill would pass.
I see. They were enforcing 82 when it relates to the other thing. Not
that's
pipe.
Right.
Even though you did not have to comply with that because the code is still based on 79.
Well, I never told the inspectors that
I was
still on 79 code.
Except the fact that they adopted a code which was more stringent in some areas. Then,
that's
of course,
right.
They could do
so
that.
Here we are dancing between two codes.
Well, you're not then because if they adopted, as I understand it, A more stringent code,
right.
Then they can enforce it.
Right.
Can't adopt one that's more lenient unless the state does it. So
that's right.
So why not you? Yeah, I understand.
The definition of more stringent, less stringent, that's...
Right.
if I might, Mr. Chairman. So it boils down to the difference in those areas out there that are just blanket adopted. Basically, boils down to the plastic area that is less stringent.
It's not as supposed to, and the polybutylene and whatever. But obviously, the municipality would be happy to just go to the 82 code and, because they're trying to adopt it, so. I would urge the legislature to do the same, at least, get it out there for a vote or something. Because, I don't want to have to, do this juggling act again, planning on doing one thing and having to do another.
Looks like it's going to happen in January again.
Because there's really a lot of this new code coming out in January.
Well, that code won't be out until 86.
I think that is correct. They go through all the rigmarole in 85. They go through the adoption procedure, but it won't come out until 86. So, whatever. I think that is correct.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else here to testify? Excuse me, Vern. You have a comment?
I just had a matter of clarification. You were talking about these railings. It's not applicable because the state does not. The railings come under the Uniform Building Code, and the state does not enforce the Uniform Building Code. The only two codes that they enforce are the plumbing code and the mechanical code.
Right. Electrical code.
But not the uniform.
Thank you.
Bill, the question of the department, and I apologize, Bob, because you really threw a curve at me the way you were coming on saying we got to conform with cities. But I didn't realize that you were here. That on the electrical code, didn't the state of Alaska, at some time in the past, and I'll say 10 years ago, pass a more rigid electrical code as far as mobile homes were concerned? We were having a lot of fires with mobile homes, and from that date on, I know that it was my impression anyway, that any units coming into the state, any new units coming into the state, had to meet the code if, in fact, T.T. Jackson at home was going to sell them.
Yeah, I was thinking of that when you mentioned it earlier. If that's the case, they're not in the electrical statutes or code that we enforce. Right now we're enforcing the 1981 National Electrical Code and the 84 National Electrical Safety Code. It's possible that in the mobile home statutes that there's still some provisions on the books, but I'm not aware of any.
Would you check that? His curiosity thing with me, that where the state came down and cracked the whip.
That was in response to fire hazards?
In response to fire. Well, we had a lot of trailer fires in the state.
In mobile homes.
It was because of the electrical code in it was beefed up statewide. From bringing in some in the state, they said you had to meet a higher criteria than the national criteria. Fine, thank you.
Thank you. We will the network if we're still there. Thank you, Chuck. Are you there?
Don Akers, this is the moderator, and Jim over here. Senator is ready to take testimony from telecom sites at this time. We're calling on you. Yes, we are. Go ahead, please.
Okay, all my applicants did have to leave. We do thank you for making testimony, and we welcome you to do that. So, give my great testimony.
Thank you very much. I'd like to apologize. We did know before the meeting that there would be a number of people participating in it. Anchorage asked to be put on a network because they wanted to listen, and somebody went out testifying pretty soon, it grew like top sheen. We have about a half a dozen sites or more here with either people listening or wanting to testify. When in fact, we knew before we started we would run out of time. So what we have done, of course, is cut the networks in to hear the testimony. And our committee is down to 2 members at the present time. However, if there are those out on the network who would like to submit testimony at this time, would you want to pull the network and see who we have there?
Sure. Sure, I'll just go down in the order that we have attended to take testimony. I'll go to, Anchorage, we know your participants have left. And Homer, Jane, is your participant still there?
Yes, I do have researching people who would like to testify.
Okay, if you can stand by, we can at least determine how many other sites have someone that's open to speak. I'll move on to Lori and Sildotna. Is your participant still there?
Yes, he would like to make a few comments, please.
Okay, Philbank, do you have anyone to speak still?
Mr. Hardy Robson here, and the answer is yes, the others have left.
Okay, I'll go on to catch down.
We have one participant still here, and no one wishes to speak.
Fine, so you no longer have anyone there to speak. I'll move on to Petersburg. Petersburg teleconference, is anyone there? No response, I'll move on to Sitka. Feline, was anyone to speak from your site?
No, one participant
said in my
testimony.
Okay, fine then. I believe that leaves us with Homer, Soldaten, and Fairbanks as the only sites. We'll return to Homer, and I guess we'll continue until the chairman feels that we have reached the time deadline.
Well, thank you. Homer, please.
I'm also a city council member, but I'm speaking on an individual basis and not for the council. I think there's been real good testimony given. I think a lot of opinions and hearsay type items which should not be considered in passing of this bill. I would have to encourage the passage of House Bill 508 without adoptions or amendments. One of the individual testified about the use of glues and the he didn't like to clean his hands with it, and a lot of personal problems with it, which is all personal choice. If adopting plastic pipe, there is no law that says you're going to have to use it. If they do not like it, they have a problem with it, personal use can go to whatever type of material they would prefer. If thawing is an expensive item and you can't thaw because you can't use heat conduction, again, that's a personal choice you have to make at the time of using plastic pipe versus copper, cast iron, whatever the case may be. A lot of them are personal choices on cost benefit, and should not be a concern. I think the one that should be a concern is the ones of fire safety. The construction of most buildings will find a lot of combustible items inside the building that are very, very toxic, such as your carpets, your furniture, your plastic, your paneling. Probably, in a lot of cases, in commercial buildings, that drop ceilings that may have plastic light shields over the light bulbs and fixtures. These type of things are a toxic type material that can burn. And those will be burning and toxic long before you get inside that wall, whether it holds up an hour or not. And I think the fire aspect should be a concern, not whether it's an inconvenience to get the thought, an inconvenience as far as having to keep your hands clean if you've got nasty glue on them. So I think we should be looking at the real concern, and that's the fire safety in commercial buildings. We're given the concept that plastic can be very dangerous to you. There's a lot of studies not done. You also got to remember a lot of current products being used that are acceptable, such as your copper pipes, certainly have some very toxic problems themselves. A lot of city water systems have a lot of acid problems. They each have copper pipes. Of course, they can copper put in the human body along with also your solder joints, which are lead. So there's a lot of controversy whether we should allow copper pipes in the place for domestic water. I think that's one of the reasons the plastics were developed. As far as a safety to communities, the plastic line goes out, we've got a situation at Homer right now where a Homer State water line is out of iron pipe. It's reached an electrolysis problem that is subject to total failure. It's been better than 9 breaks in it recently, and many of them call it to electrolysis. That line was brought permanently. We're talking about not having fire protection in one of our largest industrial areas in this community. The experts have been redesigning and proposing pipe systems to us are proposing that the most economical and least corrosive type piping to use is a plastic type piping. So I would have to contend that probably the fire safety of that area out there would be better served with a plastic pipe and not the iron. One thing I will address as a personal council member, we had citations issued here last summer regarding ABS in commercial buildings. Constituents of mine got a hold of me and asked me if we had heard about it and what codes the City of Homer was adopting. And also in their research, they were found and told that letters had been sent to all the communities regarding the city was not enforcing the 82 code, but still enforcing the 79 code regarding plastic plumbing. I got a hold of our city administration at that time, and they had no such record at that point in time that they may have received one sent. But at that point in time, the engineering department or the city administration office had not received any letter at that point in time from the state regarding the 1979-1982 plumbing code. I would have to hope and urge the committee to take action this legislative session regarding House Bill 508. I think technology has changed. plumbing has increased as far as the needs in the communities, cost effective, and also probably better serves the needs of most communities. And I think it's a personal choice. If people have a problem with it, don't feel safe using it, there's nothing that indicates that they have to use plastic anywhere in their building. They still have the option of going to the older material. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry you had to wait all this time to testify, but I hope that you understood the problem we have here in Juneau. Isn't prohibitive from using that plastic pipe?
I could just have one more item real quick. It's a question that I think that the committee should consider. The state law does allow the municipalities to accept more stringent plumbing codes.
Excuse me, sir, this is the moderator in Juneau. I might ask you to stand by. There's some other discussion here for just a moment.
Outside the building, it would be approved material.
Right.
Under the existing code. It's inside the building where you have
just one comment on the situation at home relative to the deterioration of the water line. I believe you said it was corroding out, that that can be replaced by plastic pipe. There's no restrictions on that. We're talking about only pipe within the building. However, you're making a good point. Next.
Yes, okay. That was regarding that particular situation and agreeable that the fire safety, I think, is the issue and not the pipe where they're putting toxins into the water, which was brought up testimony that plastic pipes could be toxic to the water. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is the fire. The question being, I know some municipalities have adopted the A2 codes and some probably have allowed plastic pipe. And the question being, is ABS pipe or other types of plastic pipes actually less stringent regulation or more stringent lead regulation? And the question would be, since the 79 code did allow ABS in certain circumstances, and now the 82 is asking for a little further broader range of its use in different types of plastic, if cities adopt the code and allow plastic in their areas, is it being less stringent or more stringent? And some may contend that actually it's more stringent. And I think that's an issue that should be addressed by the committee.
I understand that. We committee staff talked to City Governor Homer this morning, and they evidently about the same point. We're going to check into that. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have, Moderator.
Comments as concise and direct as possible.
Thank you very much. This is Art Robson in Fairbanks. I am house counsel for the plumbers and fitters up here. The fireman who is here and the instructor from the apprentice school have left. Basically, the 1982 DAPO code differs from the 79 in a couple of respects that we're concerned with here. Section 1004A and the 1000 sections relate to water distribution. This section provides that as material, you may use asbestos cement pipe, PB, PE, PVC, for cold water, and for hot water, only PB. In section 401 on drainage, it permits the use of only ABS, which is a real tongue twister. It's acrylonitrile butadiene styrene, or PVC. And then provides a little four other approved section. The vent section isn't really that much changed, but it provides in section 503 that for venting you can use ABS, PVC, or other approved. Now, this presents some immediate problems which have been addressed in different ways. Anchorage has addressed the problem by making some modifications. I think they're modifications that pretty much everybody could live with. They've held it to certain types of buildings, primarily residential buildings of a smaller size, and they feel that thereby you've minimized the risk to large numbers of people. The EAPMO people, when they adopted their code, also adopted tables and installation standards, and House Bill 508 is purporting to adopt both the code chapters themselves, the tables, and the installation standards. The EAPMO, after the large campaign by the plastic pipe people, possibly a bit as a matter of humor, but covered their tail, shall we say, by providing in the installation standards, section 315.6, that when piping is installed in fire-resistant construction, it may only be piping which is equivalent in fire resistiveness. and goes on to say that in order to determine this, approval shall be obtained prior to installing any such piping, and there'll be qualified testing methods approved by the administrative authority. The state has 3 plumbing inspectors, and I suppose there are probably 10 others throughout the state, and you're going to place a real load on these. Well, you're going to have to get a bunch more if you're going to have them approving piping for particular standards one way or another. Yapo just found this as a way out to say, okay, if you want to go ahead and allow plastic piping, don't sue us for it. Now, in Fairbanks, incidentally, the question has come up, and I'm trying to just hit things that have come up and been left uncovered. Fairbanks adopted the 82 code without exception. They had a public hearing in which they unanimously, no, pardon me, it was 5-1, dumped the 82 code after considerable testimony, referred it back to the Code Revision Commission, and then in a reconsideration without public hearing or notice at the following meeting, they adopted the code unanimously. The only reason being assigned in the minutes of the meeting was the pendency of the lawsuit by the state of Alaska against the city of Fairbanks. If anybody needs the number of it, it's 4FA-83-1077. Superior Court action in which the state sued the city to keep them from using a less restrictive code permitting the plastic pipe because the city building inspector had gone ahead and permitted a few contractors, not everyone, but a few contractors in public buildings to use the plastic pipe. When the state sued the city then got its back up and proceeded to answer the lawsuit by adopting the 82 code, leaving the court with the question of deciding whether the plastic pipe is lesser safe, lesser protection of the public, or greater. It's my understanding, well, part of the problem is that Judge Van Homesen has had a couple of operations on his legs, but it's my understanding that there now is an order which indicates that the standards of the 79 code are higher or more stringent, and hence that the 1982 code cannot be used unless or until the state lowers its standards by adopting the 82 code. Finally, in conclusion, as far as the union is concerned, I think you've pretty well heard everything. We're concerned mostly with worker safety. Those people who are workers don't have the option that the man from Homer would think that they do. If they're required to work with the benzene and chloroform on any large project, that has worked for several days at a time. They're stoned continuously. We had some very funny testimony by people at the Fairbanks City Council in terms of having to work on it on a Friday because they were drunk for a couple of days after they'd worked on it without having had anything to drink. Durability, of course, is a problem. Combustibility, because it cuts off the water supply, the dangerous gases which it gives off have been gone into quite thoroughly, I think. Thawing is a real problem up here. Those of you who don't view thawing as a problem have better weather than we do, but we have to use either electric clamp-ons or steam or a torch, and none of these work on plastic, and it's all well and good to say a person can do whatever they want, but if the building code provides that plastic pipe can be used, it will be used because of the competitive bidding process in public buildings. We're just going to spend all our time replacing pipe and spend a heck of a lot of money. For individual residences, the electrical ground question, I think we all grew up when you ground things to your nearest plumbing fixture, and most ground in most homes are that way, and we are starting to create a fire hazard problem with that. The permeability, I'll wait to see if they do use a long water supply line in Homer. We don't have any real tests in Alaska. If it is water supply for humans, there are particular problems. The biggest problem is that in a house, people will use such things as Lindane, your very common household pesticide, will keep it, or sometimes spray it under the kitchen sink to keep ants and things like that out there. That's sure not what you want to spray on a plastic pipe because it goes right through the plastic pipe and into the water. That's one of the things that they have confirmed. I've talked long enough. You need some time off. Thank you for listening to me.
Well, thank you very much. I just have one question. Would you clarify that once again, whether, as I understand it, the court has determined that the 1982 code was less stringent than the 1979. Is that correct?
In essence, that's it. It did it by entering an order saying that the city cannot let them use plastic pipe until there is a further hearing by before the judge. And because of his operations, you haven't had that. It hasn't occurred. or B, somebody can prove to some other judge who's willing to do it that there is some respect in which plastic pipe is at least as stringent as the state code. It's kind of mushy, but the ruling is basically there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I believe a final participant will be in Soldotna. Lori, if I could check and make certain that you are in fact the last site. Is there any other site that expects to present testimony? Fine, with no response, then we can assume that Soldotna will be the final site and we'll go there at this time.
I'm Ken Brown, a contractor for over 27 years. I urge the support and approval of the bill, Michael A. And mainly due to the fact that the labor unions, the design engineers, and suppliers are all against this. Over the 27 years in this industry, they're mainly against it to keep the cost up. The average person in Alaska likes to do most of his own construction. If this plastic product will enable that person not to go out and get special pipe breaking materials for cast iron and so forth. Safe products, in effect, it has been approved by ICBO, Uniform Building Code, people who have done extensive studies. And therefore, I believe the state should approve. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your patience. Anything else come before this committee?
Senator, is there still opportunity for your written testimony? One of our people in Anchorage who wished to testify wasn't able to stay long enough.
Right, we welcome any written testimony at this point. We need all the help we can get.
How long will this written testimony be allowed, Senator? I mean, closing bill to...
As long as we have the bill before us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, you know...